welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, today we're talking coaching and leader skills.
We are. We've scoured the entire world and we couldn't find anybody suitable. But instead, what we got is we got Holly Golubiowski. That's a Polish name, by the way, but Holly is lovely, and she's a very talented business coach all the way from Atlanta. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We're absolutely delighted that you're here. Business coaching, is that just helping really talentless sort of middle managers to get better at their jobs?
I would actually say it's for anyone. Even great leaders can always be better. I describe it as, you're buying something to improve a product. You're the product, and how to be a better you.
So that I like that.
Kind of in a nutshell, how to explain it.
I really like that because Kevin's a product as well, but you've got no chance with him. But he's beyond redemption. But he'd be a good case.
I spent youth probably, Graham.
Something like that. But, when you get these clients presenting to you, they're not talentless. But they've not quite made what they perceive they want to make. So what is it that you actually do with them to sort of elevate their skill? Well, not so much skill, but their ability to get to the next level that they're looking for.
Well, I think the biggest thing to think about is so many of us are so busy, especially in our work lives. Well, that's not our personal lives are the same way, that we never take time to really stop and ask ourselves questions and to think about what's going on or, hey, how could I have done that better? So what I am is a time that people put on their calendar. And for about an hour, usually a session's about 50 minutes long, I just ask questions, what is your problem? And it's very much like therapy for business in a way, because oftentimes someone just hasn't posed a question to us in a way that made us really think, oh, wait, you're right. For example, with myself, I started with a coach when I was almost fired, partially through my rise to COO. And I knew I had to do something different, but I didn't know what I was doing wrong and why I was struggling at that point in my career. And the coach, Nan O'Connor, who is the creator of Leader Skills, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a minute. She pretty much just posed to me, a lot of things that made me more self-aware, things that made me realize how I'm perceived versus the narrative in my head that I think people see. So it's a lot of different things. And also, self-awareness is a huge part of it because we all are moving so fast in this world. We don't always have time to think, oh, wow, I did that wrong, or I should have had more empathy or things like that.
Just remind me of your coach's name.
Nan O'Connor.
Nan. Right. Okay. Well, Nan came along in your life at the point where you'd risen to COO, Chief Operating Officer for some company. Is that right?
Actually, it was a little earlier. It was when I made the jump to a regional manager position in the corporate level.
But you were rising quickly and you were well regarded.
Yes.
But you'd reached a level where some level of fuzziness got into your head, that you were surrounded by people you thought were better, but probably weren't. But the thing is, that made you want to sort of reach out, or have I got that wrong? What else is missing in that jigsaw?
No, actually, that is correct. I heard through the grapevine from someone I very much respected that I may be on the chop block in effect, and I'd always been promoted, always number one in everything I did. I'd never in my life thought I'd be in that position. Wow. And I very much like to win. I like to do things right. So I went to the boss's boss at the time, because my boss, I don't want to discredit her, but she didn't have the tools to be the leader because she wasn't trained properly either. But he agreed to pay for this coach and try it on me. And that company uses her now. They paid her to create Leader Skills. So it's amazing how it all kind of evolved and is connected in my life. But I started working with her, and within 6 months, I was back to being at the top of my peer group and training other people that were regional managers. So it was pretty amazing.
And yeah, there's no surprise that that sort of thing happens, that you find that you're doing something, you've never been equipped with the skills for it, and you've got a boss yourself who's never been equipped with the skills. Because let's face it, how do we promote? We look at somebody who's good at the job they're doing most of the time
Yes.
and then stick them up to the next level, where they probably end up doing less of the stuff that they enjoy and they're good at. But they're required to start managing other people that are doing those things that they were good at doing. And there's a lot
Absolutely.
of difference between doing and managing.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's also the Peter principle coming into play where you get promoted to the job you can't do anymore. So
Exactly. Yeah.
sometimes people don't have the skill to where they're promoted, or they were trained on the tasks to do that job, but not given the strategic ability and understanding and training from the leadership perspective. So that's always a missing component.
So
Company.
is it the is it, it would you blame the company?
I think it's more than just companies. I think it's a cultural thing. We just have never put enough time in being strategic about how we communicate with each other, the power of words, how we're perceived. But yes, at the end of the day, companies, here in America, they spend about $954 a year on each employee in their company for training. If you really think about it, that is not very much money, and that's probably spent on new hires, and that's just to get them acclimated really with HR processes, you know? So I just think it's a big missing element that companies just kind of overlook and don't realize how much building a real leadership team makes a difference.
When I first saw your jersey there, and on there it says leader skills, I was almost going to say leadership skills, but actually it seems better that you've identified leader and skills. The ship thing has sailed. So basically you've just got this leader and skills. That I think is really quite clever, because presumably a leader really does need to have certain skills. What are they?
Well, I believe it starts with self-awareness and empathy. I think those are critical skills. There's a lot of different topics we cover, a lot of different modules. So I would tell you there's many skills, but those two are very important. And one thing that Nan did when she was creating leader skills that I thought was pretty amazing is she looked at her top clients. She's a certified master coach. She's been doing it, I think, for over 25, 30 years now. And she looked at over the years her best possible clients and what skills did they have that made them good leaders. And she looked for parallels in there. So things like conflict management, time management, empathy, self-awareness, how to hold your team accountable. Those are all things that we touch on and have different modules on, but there's more, but those are some of the big ones.
Does it make you a bit of a school marm? So basically you go along and you're kind of like Arrowsmith, you haven't done your homework on the lead on whatever it is, empathy. Almost certainly I haven't done my homework on empathy, Kevin. I don't know about you.
And Graham comes along and says, "Oh, sorry, miss, the dog ate it."
Yeah. Well, in my case the budgie. But no, seriously though, I it does it make you something of a, we used to call it at Lego didactic. I think this idea of teaching people, is that what you're really doing? You're sort of sharing your skill sets.
Yes, I well, it's interesting because one, we will never in my coaching profession or in leader skills, what we do there, we always tell everyone, don't come to this or don't pay to send people through it who are not motivated to do it. Because I am not going to be your school teacher. I'm not going to say you have to do this, but you have to want to do it. And same goes for anyone that's trying to be better in a company. They have to want the coaching because if they're not going to listen, it's never going to work. So there's a little bit of that to it, but also it is, every 2 weeks I get on a meeting with each cohort and we talk through what they learned. We only do one topic every 2 weeks, so
Brilliant.
they get to practice it right away, put it in place, and that's after probably a 30-minute investment of reading and watching some short videos. And it's pretty cool because you get to like right away, like for example, conflict management, we give you tools and processes on how to jump right in after about 15 minutes and have a real thing you can use. So there's pieces of it where they come to me on those meetings and say, all right, I tried this and it didn't work because of this or this, and then I can help them. But if they just sit on that in that meeting or don't reach out to me or talk about things in a way that's, letting me know they're trying, it's never going to work. So there's a little balance there, yes.
Is it practice though? Because I can imagine I many years ago, I did a master's degree and an MBA, and I found, because it was part time and I still work in a fairly big business, and I you know, if we were talking about HR, which I've got to say I've pretty dim view generally of, and I'd go into work and I might be firing somebody or hiring somebody or coaching somebody with a problem, whatever. It would almost be like we'd have a subject, and then the following week or so, I just found myself, because it was top of mind, I found myself doing it. And I don't know if you almost could conjure that up, that you almost you know, because you're talking about these abstract things, how to deal with people, you almost have to be on the lookout for it.
Yes. Well, and we advertise ourselves as a no bullshit, you can put it into place right away practice program. Because a lot of times you'll have like speakers come in and they're like pie in the sky ideas and they are very abstract. So it's like, okay, great. I just listened for 2 hours and that person's had great words, but what do I do now? So that is where we're very different. And yes, practice is the key. That's why we only do one topic. Conflict management. All right, for 2 weeks, you're going to practice it. Here's the tools. And you better come ready on the meeting with me to talk about how you did it. Did it work? Did it not work? And talk about those things. Because the reality is, nobody is born a great leader. You have to really hone those skills. I think some people it comes more naturally too, but nobody has it all. So really practicing these different skills is critical. And honestly, I think it's been about 12 years now, and I still have to remind myself. And when I'm teaching these courses, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't done this in a while. I need to go back. So there's really definitely things that you always have to remind yourself to do and to be better at.
Kevin probably needs a bit of help with certain of these things. But Kevin, what's the thing that you've heard so far that you probably would do with a refresher on?
I'm interested actually in listening to the sort of topics that Holly's covering, because in Grow CFO, where there is a learning and development platform for senior finance leaders, probably what we're not teaching in there is leadership itself. Interesting, we've talked about the number of skills you need, and excluding all those things about leadership that we've been talking about there, conflict management, hiring and firing staff, and so on. We've identified for a CFO nine competencies they need to have to do the role. And in each of the nine competencies, five skills. So 45 in all. And some of them are very, very much finance type skills. Now, one of the sectors is all about fundraising, mergers and acquisitions, performance management, enterprise performance management, as opposed to HR performance management. There are other basic finance skills. There are a lot of soft skills in there, but that's mainly around sort of presenting, storytelling. How do you get the message across to the board and things like that? I am fascinated to think about, well, perhaps if we started saying, well, leadership in general should be in that framework, how many more skills ought we to have in there?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely. I mean, think about it, like delegating. How would you say you are at delegating, Kevin?
I am absolutely useless at delegating. Yeah, absolutely useless.
That's a one specific skill we spend 2 weeks training people on. So I always love to bring that one up too.
I usually take the view that I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I actually need doing quite quickly. It's probably quicker just to get on and do it myself than teach somebody else how to do it.
Absolutely. That's many people's mentality, but the reality is, what does that say to your team? I don't trust you. I don't have time for you. Things that we don't think about when we're choosing to do it on our own, right?
Yeah,
That's
funny enough,
really
but when I'm teaching a future CFO program, one of the modules that I run is all talking about how do you fast track your own personal development plan. We're talking to people, how do you get from head of finance to CFO? And one of the big issues when we're putting a development plan together is saying to people, well, look, we've all got the same 168 hours in a week. Chances are, before we put this plan together, your 168 hours are already full. You're going to do this new stuff. That means there's going to be some stuff you're not going to do anymore. So we kind of to go through a prioritization exercise, and actually, we ne inevitably end up talking about delegation.
Yeah. Well, and that's, by the way, another thing that we talk about is prioritizing your time and even have like a ROI on your time and how to figure out what to knock off the list and keep on the list, because a lot of people struggle with that and what is most valuable.
Absolutely.
Just going to the next step. So leader skills. You have a how big are your classes, just out of interest?
We typically, eight is very much the sweet spot in a cohort. We will do anywhere from 6 to 10, because if you have less than six, it's not as good a conversation, and they learn from each other too in these courses.
And
So
they're from
that's
separate
true.
companies. They're not from the same company, or some of them are, or some of them.
Some are and some aren't. We have some people who like to do one-offs and have them experience other people in their industry or just in other leadership roles. And then some companies will send groups through at a time. We have several clients that'll, you know, when they get 10, then they'll send that cohort through. So yeah, it just depends.
I think I would be really tempted if I was sending 10 people to say, Holly, split them into twos and put them on five different courses with other people. I one of the things that this group think, it must damage companies hugely that you know our way of doing things is this. And you know I don't know whether or not your role in life is to almost dissuade them of that thought process, because if you surround them with a let's say an entrepreneur or from people from smaller businesses than theirs, or from even from the public sector, you know, basically, would you get a better dynamic, or is it in your experience the best form of learning is when you've got 10 of the same firm?
Well, I think it depends on where your company is. We work with a lot of companies that are growing or have gone through a lot of growth, or you know, startups that are have gotten to that point where they're like, "Oh my gosh, we're a mess and we've grown too fast." So we do deal with that quite a bit, and I would say that it is very much about helping them kind of just reformat their brains and like, okay, the company's been this. This is our culture or our lack of culture. And pretty much every single module, when we finish our conversation, I'll always say, all right, guys, make sure you now have an executive meeting or a team meeting. Talk about what out of this do you want to make culture at your company? So there's so many tools we give out with it, and a lot of them companies automatically will put them in place. So it's interesting. I really push for the leaders, the high leaders, like the CEOs, the COOs, who may be great. And that's good, but you can always learn more and be better. So I always ask for them to attend as well so that they are part of it and they bought into it, and then it can truly become culture.
Yeah, but does it when it comes to an argument about strategy, etc., whatever he says, because he's the CEO,
Yeah.
and there's that sort of well, you know, Charlie, you're wrong because you're the CEO and you don't know anything. But
Yeah.
basically, and they're not going to do that, are they? I mean, unless they fancy, you know, getting another job somewhere. But it's this dynamic. I mean, maybe Kevin and I both worked in big corporate, and we're no longer there. And I'm for one, I would be a danger in big corporate now. I think I would be a disruptor.
I would too.
And
Yeah, definitely.
it's just
Definitely.
it. I'm not saying that I couldn't do it. I just think I would be. It would be uncomfortable for not just for me but for others. And I think that because I'm constantly sort of curious about getting things done in as quick a way as I could. But back in the day, you know, procrastination. Yeah, well, it's my middle name. You know, and it was, you know, and because you couldn't make a decision too quickly, otherwise you'd rock the boat so much. But I don't know. If you had to put your finger on the biggest thing that you've done and your courses have done that have radically changed an organizer, what is the kind of big skill set that's driven that change? What's that
Yeah.
single thing, if there is one?
I don't know that there is a single thing, but I think the biggest watching groups go through this, if they come in open-minded and they have high leadership buy-in, the C-suite has bought in and says, whatever goes with leader skills, we're going to really buy into this, then it always works and it does create immediate change. But also, there's another layer of that where these modules really give you the skills to go have good conversations with those people too to help make this happen. You know, if the COO is like, nope, it's always been done this way, we're always going to do it this way. Well, we do give you skills to have that tough conversation as well. So there's a lot going on and at play in the program that help. I actually, when I went through this with Nan, before Leader Skills was like a real program, she actually gave me this process I could go through. And I went to like my boss's boss and pretty much told him, hey, this is stupid, only in a nice way. And can we stop doing this? And it worked out really well. So I would have never been able to do that, and not in a way that was politically correct, you know, in a way that wouldn't have offended them or put them on their guard. So that's all at play as well. But I'm also a tool, so a lot of times if there are internal problems or I see there being an issue where someone's not buying in the C-suite, I'll have a conversation with that person myself and say, hey, what do you not agree with this? Why? What? Talk to me about it. How can I help make this more useful for your company? So there's a lot of moving pieces in making it work for each individual company.
It does sound like boss's boss, you know, these are big companies that you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, typically, how many employees would these companies have?
That's a great question. I am not sure the biggest company. I mean, we've worked with huge manufacturing companies here in the States, but we've also worked with some very tiny companies that have 50 or less employees. So I would say typically we work with, large companies, but I wouldn't say, you know, the employees, like not global companies that are, you know, on the stock exchange, because those public companies, let's be real, want to hire a company with a name that's very well known so they can say, look, board, we've hired them. It's kind of like hiring a big accounting firm, right? So it would be great for those companies, but also we're not as well recognized at this point. You know, we've
No,
only
I
been
get
around about 10 years.
I
But
see.
it across all sizes, it is making a huge difference.
Good.
I can see a different set of problems there. You know, we've talked about the person that's promoted and needing to acquire the skills, but equally, there's the entrepreneur that's built a business, great at working by themselves, great at building the business to a certain level. But then comes a level where they've got to start delegating stuff to other people and
Absolutely.
having people around them that are bringing the complementary skills that they probably haven't got as well. And there are some big challenges in moving from kind of a firm with less than 10 employees to an organization that's bigger than that. There's an inflection point there where you really do have to bring in
Absolutely.
the right culture, the right ways of working, the right ways of leading people.
Absolutely. Well, and entrepreneurs are usually very good at having one-on-one connections with people they can touch, see, and get on their bus, in effect. And as they grow and they can't get their arms on everybody anymore, they really do lose that element. And then, I mean, let's be real, startups are always like everyone's burnt out because there's so much going on and you're so lean and mean as a company. So, as they grow, those leadership skills are so much more critical that they may not have needed when they were small. So that is a huge piece of this as they grow. And especially the leaders that say, I don't have all the answers are the ones that do the best with us. You know, that those are the companies coming to us because they have recognized they need those skills, especially as they grow. Because let's face it, the company will outgrow them if they don't keep with the times, or the company won't, that'll fail. So that's the reality.
Have you been able to track the impact on corporate growth as a result of your inputs?
We have not done studies like that, but we have a couple different things. We are big into surveys, and 99% of everybody that has taken the course has said, I'll use this for the rest of my life. It's that impactful.
Yeah, I
And
saw that.
we have a money back guarantee. If after the first module, your company or you don't believe in it, then we'll give you all your money back. And no one has once ever taken us up on that. So I
That's
think that is telling.
there's a Kevin type here in your list of testimonials, and Kevin says, because he's a CFO, is to be honest, I didn't really want to take this course. I thought it'd be just another training. I'm busy and I didn't want to bother. Instead, I found it to be so valuable that I look forward to every single module. And he was Kevin type, CFO for a national real estate firm. Now, I guess that's you almost have to win hearts and minds, don't you? That's a really good
Yes.
quote, by the way, isn't it? Because
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I mean, who wants another training from HR? You know, not me.
Exactly.
And
Who has time for it, right?
yeah, but I mean, but leadership or leader skills, if you've got an upward trajectory within a firm or that's where you want to take yourself, then you want leader skills, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's critical.
Yeah.
And
So
I do love that quote because I don't know how many times we've had it. This is a very, I hear this frequently where the very high level leaders of a company kind of are like, yeah, whatever, my middle level or lower level employees can take it. I'm fine. And then they'll sit in on a course where they'll start hearing from their team, wow, I learned this. And then they're like, whoa, mind blown. All right, I'm going to be in it next time. So it's been really rewarding to see even people at that level be blown away by how useful this is.
And do you sit them in rows like in a school, like
No,
you've
no. Most of it is there's a learning platform online, so they go there, they watch some videos, there's a lot of course content, a lot of tools. And again, it's less than an hour. It's sometimes only about 30 minutes, and then for 2 weeks you just practice. And then we do it's a Zoom call pretty much where we do Zoom meetings. That way people don't have to travel or waste time walking to a room or all being in the same place at the same time.
You're not missing a trick, though. Isn't it better to be with people?
You know, I used to always feel that way, but I think that people being in their space and now that work from home is way more common and expenses. It costs so much to get people in a room together. And let's face it, if you spend 15 minutes of your time driving to be somewhere, that's 15 minutes you could have been productive. So I think that I have not felt any I don't feel lost by us not being in the same room. Now, if there are companies that want us to come do this in person, we have done that. And I don't know that I think it's been better or worse. It's just different. But I think everyone still gets a lot out of it.
Well, I think traveling is going to get more expensive over here in socialist
Oh.
Britain, thanks to the
Well,
but it's not
our planes
cheaper.
aren't even taking off soon because we don't have air traffic controllers. So,
Well,
yeah.
no, and that's a specific one. Again, back to the socialists in your country. But basically, at the end of the day, though, you've got and how can I don't know if you heard this, Kevin, but you know, I have an EV, I have a Tesla, and this hapless chancellor is going to put 3 pence a mile on.
Of course, that's because you're not buying any petrol, which is 50% tax.
Yeah. So, I mean, they honestly, I can't tell you how much I hate the socialists in this country.
It was going to
And,
happen eventually, no matter which government it was, Graham, because
Oh,
then
no.
much
Well,
revenue
you can
traffic.
save money in lots of very, very sensible ways, and you know, stop paying people who turn up on boats for one. But that's another story. But we shouldn't get into all these things, Holly. I'm sure you're now thinking, yeah, Graham needs to attend the empathy course,
No, I'm enjoying this. You guys are great.
No, well, I seriously though, I mean, you're making a di you must love this, mustn't you?
Oh
Because
my gosh.
it shows on your face, it really does.
I cannot tell you. It's been such an interesting journey how I ended up here. It was very serendipitous, but yes, I get so much out of helping people and seeing that light bulb go on and especially people who have struggled, it's amazing. I get to make such a big impact in so many people's lives doing this, and it's awesome.
And how did that journey happen, Holly? How did you end up getting out of big corporate in that line role and doing what you're doing now?
It's kind of odd actually, because I never thought I'd be where I am. I was so stressed in the last corporate job I had. I was COO of a medium-sized real estate company here in the States. And I was traveling, I was spinning my wheels, I was exhausted. And the owner of that company and I struggled a little bit to kind of find a balance with each other. And one day my husband actually just said, why don't you just start your own company? You have been making so much money for other people. And I was like, I don't know. I never thought about it. So it initially started with me thinking about that. And then I really was speaking with Nan because she was my coach and still really is. And it made me realize, you know what? The most I've gotten out of everything I've done over the years as a leader is the training and helping people be better. And I love when people would get promoted or leave a company because they got a better job somewhere else. So that was when I realized, wait, maybe I should think about being a coach myself. So quit that job and went back to school and spent a year, learning how to be a coach. And in that time, started my own real estate company that was kind of just paying the bills. And that actually did better than I expected. And now that runs in the background and is not as much my passion as leader skills and the executive coaching. So luckily, I have a great person running that. But while I was building all that up, Nana and I went to lunch and she's like, I'm getting overwhelmed. I could really use someone to help at leader skills. And I just kind of started stepping in a little bit here and there. And then here I am now, a partner with Nan. So
Wow.
it's just kind of crazy. It was a very strange journey. I mean, you can never expect things to go the way that you think they will. And
And it sounds like she's a little bit older than you, Holly. I mean, you look, I don't know, in mid career. So basically, she's like Kevin and I, a bit later in career. I mean, so at some stage, you're going to assume the role, aren't you?
well, hopefully that's the plan. We haven't actually talked about that at this point, but yes, that would be
Well,
the hope, I think.
get talking now. I mean, you should have some. She should be coaching you into that role, shouldn't she? Because I have a similar
Well,
situation with her, with my colleague, and she's very young, but and the difference between your age and Nan is probably nearer than my age and my colleague. And basically, so it's how do you take somebody who's young to get who's capable for sure to get to a place where you can entrust them with running something like your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that she probably already is doing that without me really thinking about it. I'm now working on helping develop content for more modules, and there's a lot of different things. And she loves for me to do this because she doesn't want to do it. So she is one of the smartest, most amazing people I've ever met. And the sheer fact that she asked me to get involved with this was one of the most amazing things. I couldn't believe that she had that much faith in me. So it's
But
pretty cool.
you gotta credit your husband a little bit though, don't you?
Yeah, fine. Yes, I do
Yeah.
actually. He has been such a great partner for me. And in that year, I wasn't working to go from being an executive making the salary I was making. And, we both traveled for our jobs, him internationally. I was mainly in the States, but it definitely was a big change in our lives for a while there. So I do owe him a lot of credit for that.
But you, are you more together now in terms of location, or is he still traveling?
Yeah, it's weird. Well, COVID hit and then suddenly we were together and had been married, I think, 8 years at that point. And then we looked at each other and we're like,
Who
so
are
now that
you?
we see each other every day,
Yeah.
how is this gonna work? Because he'd go to Japan for 3 weeks and I wouldn't see him. So it was very entertaining. But yeah, it's a good balance now.
I'd love a job like that. Going to say Japan. I
Oh,
mean,
he loved it, yes.
just think of the food. Wow.
Yeah, not so much China. He didn't like the food there.
At 5'9", I'd be towering over everybody, wouldn't I be? You don't even have to be 6 foot there, though, do you? Let's face it.
No.
So.
He actually has people take pictures with him every time he goes over there because they think he's a famous athlete because he's 6'2".
Oh.
Little do
We went
they
to
know he's
India.
an auditor.
We went to India last year, and it is it's it, everybody goes, particularly white people who go there. They're mobbed, and people actually like to stand next to you and touch you a little bit because they don't often see this
Yeah.
color face. Well, my color face is red, so basically I don't know where they get that from. But seriously, but it was just a wonderful. I think the Indians are wonderful people,
Absolutely.
and we had a whale of a time. But I just this idea of your husband going off to Japan, I just think, if I had another life, I wouldn't mind a bit of that, but does he find it difficult?
Absolutely not. He misses traveling. He used to travel to I mean, he would, in one flight, he'd have the best status on the airline. And then, I mean, he's been to some of the coolest places and like hiked up mountains with a guide in flip-flops. And and then he's been to Victoria Falls in a helicopter and Australia, Japan, Indonesia. I'm a little jealous sometimes, but he's getting back into the travel now, so I think he's very excited.
So have you improved his leader skills, or doesn't he need any improvement?
He has his own coach because I don't think anybody wants their spouse to tell them what to do. But every now and then we do have conversations quite often about, hey, this is going on at work. What are your thoughts? And it's pretty cool because he's a very smart man, and I have people skills. He has the kind of science, math, technology skills. So we do kind of riff off each other, looking for help in those areas. So he does kind of, it's pretty neat actually sometimes the things he asks for help on.
I'm going to ask you a podcast kind of question here, but basically, if somebody wanted to find you and sort of get involved in your programs at Leader Skills, how do they do that?
Well, the easiest way is going to our website. There is a form there you can fill out, and that comes right through. And that is just leaderskills.training. Nothing after that. Training is the domain. And that has everything you could ever want on there. And actually, you can sign up for tips that are great that Nan wrote herself that come through for free. So that's easy. Or you can just email me info@leaderskills.training. So
How
that's
about
it. Very quick and
that?
easy.
So your nickname's Info then.
Yes, I'm info.
Holly, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the next 100 Days podcast. Thank you.
Graham, really interesting to chat to somebody else who's in the learning development space with leaders. Okay, Grow CFO, we're very specific on finance leaders, but really interesting to swap thoughts, ideas, and learn about stuff.
I think you the one thing that Holly is she's quite magnetic, isn't she?
Oh,
So,
she is. Yes.
and you know, if you're getting across material, you want somebody who's slightly upbeat and very confident as well, is enjoying her job, but you can tell that that's the case. But I suspect in her career, and I see this in my own career, she's had her ups and downs, and so, you know, with people as much as anything, not so much with the career project pathway, but basically, I genuinely think that she's now got to a place in her life where she's master of what she's doing, and the beauty is she's got a mentor. Who obviously cares for her. And so from that point of view, I think she's only going to do well in the next few years.
Yeah, but while we've been talking leadership skills and probably skills that are more applicable to leaders of businesses larger than the ones we normally aim at, what we've heard again, Graham, is another great corporate escape story.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, you always pick up on it, don't you? And you're right to do so because so many people out there have worked in big corporate and then they've said, no, I can do something for myself. I can make money for myself, more so than a large corporate. I've been grateful. I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I was grateful for all the big companies I worked for, and some of them were fantastic organizations, really well run. You know, if it went wrong, it was usually because there was a couple of bad eggs in there, but the truth is, the companies themselves really meant well, and so I genuinely enjoyed my career in terms of lots of different companies. But now, having your own business, it just feels different, Kevin.
And now here we are, Graham, in the first podcast of 2026. And if you're listening to this and you are in big corporate and you're finding yourself in the sort of position that we've just heard about from Holly, why not give it a go by yourself?
Well, it's a
You've got
good time
lots
of the
of
year.
things that you can take out into your own business. And we've talked many different business models, many ways to make things work. And only last episode, we were talking to Ziv about how do you make yourself stand out in a micro niche? And it's not difficult.
No. One of those micro niches, do you remember, was balloon twisting
That's
and
right.
yeah, I mean that's a heck of a niche. I'm
Think
not
of
quite sure how profitable it is, but it must be for enough people to be interested in that. But
Yeah.
anyway, that's gone. That was 2025, Kevin. We're in 2026,
Yes, we
so
are. Even though it's just November 2025 when I'm recording this.
now you're giving the game away here, but it feels like 2026 on this episode, Kevin. It's episode 567. 7. So our intention is to keep going and hopefully have more exciting guests like Holly to entertain us and to share lots of insights there about leader skills.
That's interesting, Graham. You know, we've just got back a year and we were going through that debate between ourselves of do we continue? Are we still where we want to be with this podcast? And I think we said at the time, oh, well, we're so near to 500 episodes. Let's do 500 and stop. Here we are, 507, 508, and we're still going.
And there's a long list of people who would love to be on this podcast and approach us and I earlier today I was approached on LinkedIn again, another potential guest. This occasion though, Kevin, I sent him a challenge. So it's
Yeah.
almost like, if you want to be on the podcast, I've got this particular problem. What do you say? Tell us how to fix it. So it'd be interesting. Maybe we should do that more often.
Probably
And
should.
on that, I don't know, cheeky note, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.